Morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers who stood up. A special shout out to my wife, who is the mother of my children, and to my mom, who put up with me and three other mischievous little people. Yes, God bless her. Okay. Hey, I'm going to read a verse from Proverbs 31, so if you could turn there. We'll read Proverbs 31 and verse 21, and then we'll pray. Proverbs 31, verse 21. Speaking of the virtuous woman, it says, "She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet." So Jesus, we just ask you, please, to breathe on this message, to give us words of wisdom, words of love, words that penetrate our hearts. Help us to reflect on your love today and be appreciative of everything you've put in our lives to show us that love. And we just ask you to bless our time here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thought the virtuous woman was a good place to start on Mother's Day. It's just a good way to frame your mind to be thinking about those people in your life who have had a great impact. And in Proverbs chapter 9, we have another verse. In verse 1, it says that wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. So I want to make two small points here. The first one goes with that first verse, and it's that, maybe an illustration would make the most sense. So how many of you have ever dealt with a bird trying to make its nest somewhere in and around your home? Is it like a nuisance? Is it a problem? I've gone out to my back porch maybe 8 times in the past 2 days to try to remove this stuff from our porch so that we can actually enjoy it when the weather is nice and not be scared of the mom protecting her little eggs on the back porch. That's a specific time in a bird's life. What do we all know that to be called? That's called nesting. That's called nesting, right? And mothers go through that too whenever they're going to have children. They go through a nesting phase where they're getting the nursery ready. The baby's not there yet. They're making sure everything about their home is childproofed and that everything is going to go really well for when the baby comes. And this idea, this bird, this persistent bird out on my back porch gave me this idea that in Proverbs 31:21 that God has foresight. God has foresight to speak to us, to protect us, to show us who He is. Mothers have foresight. They go out and they make sure that everything's set before you come into the world. In the same way, God has done the same thing. And in Proverbs chapter 9, it says that wisdom builds her house and has hewn out her seven pillars. And in Isaiah chapter 11, you have 7 different manifestations of the Spirit of God that work in all of our lives. And I believe this to be extremely true for mothers. I believe this to be just like so pertinent to the day today and what we're celebrating. And in Isaiah 11, we'll read verses 1 and 2. It's really speaking about Jesus Christ, but also the Holy Spirit that He gives to us. It says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And here come the 7 spirits. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." And I think about this foresight that mothers have, that they do make all these preparations, that God also has like this motherly tendency to make all these preparations for us. And I think about just the intricacies of life that God makes sure we understand are coming from Him. He does it through our mothers, through our families, through our home life, through our life in Bible college, through our life in high school, through our life in our workplace, everywhere. God makes things known to us from Him through these spirits. All of these are different manifestations of the wisdom in Proverbs chapter 9, the wisdom of God, wisdom which God possessed before the worlds were ever formed in Proverbs 8:22, wisdom that He gives to us in the form of mothers and fathers, in the form of our family members who look after us. And just think about for a second the foresight of God in your life right now, the foresight of God in your life. You can take it on the maximum, like the largest level of when God created man and woman, when God created Adam and Eve, knowing that sin would happen. What does it say in Revelation 13:8 about God's foresight? That he made sure the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The foresight to know that we would be living in sin, that we would walk around like being human, and that he would have to find a way to reach out to us. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. You think of Daniel going into captivity, and the foresight God would have had to have to allow Daniel to go into captivity with the Babylonians, because centuries later, what happens? Wise men come from the east looking for Jesus Christ to point the entire world to the birth of his son. Like the foresight that God would have for that to take place. So that's my encouragement for you this morning. Think about God's foresight in your life. All the things that he has put into place little by little. Romans chapter 8 says he works all things together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. That takes foresight on God's part. And it's through his son, Jesus Christ, that we can even fathom these things. It's through the Holy Spirit that he put inside us. It's through the Holy Spirit that he put inside our mothers to allow us to grow knowing the truth and not forsaking it and not running after other things, but for them to continually invest in us the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Just constantly God's foresight shows up for us. Yeah, so with that thought in mind, let's pray for the offering and just believe God for an amazing day today, okay? Jesus, we just ask you, please, Lord, to bless this offering right now, that you would help us to continue to grow your kingdom, that we would be able to continue to send out missionaries and preachers and teachers and teams to the mission field, Lord, here in the U.S. and all throughout the world. Just give us an amazing day today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, speaking of mothers, mother and daughter singing, it's awesome, isn't it? Man, what a joy. I've often thought about what Mrs. Hadley must feel like when Pastor Jim and Joe are up here singing in the worship team and thinking like, wow, mission accomplished, right? Like that's amazing. What a heritage. Did you notice Pastor Matt said children? Were you wondering about that? I guess it's public knowledge, right? That there is one on the way. So, and this time it's are you revealing? It's a boy. It's a boy, so Pastor Matt, Jamil, beautiful, huh? I was thinking about a couple things. I was thinking about my mom this morning. Some of you knew my mom. My mom had portion control issues growing up. What I mean by that is if she cooked food for our family, she was cooking food for our family and hoping that seven other people were coming. Sometimes they did, which was always a blessing, but sometimes they didn't, which really was not such a blessing. It's remained a blessing, actually. But have you ever witnessed childbirth? If you've witnessed childbirth in person, and I know you moms have, if you are a dad and you've had that privilege, my reaction after my knees nearly buckling was, I will never disrespect a woman again. I'll never disrespect my wife. I'll never disrespect my mother. I'll never disrespect anyone's mother ever again. It's the most incredible thing. And our daughter, who was born right here in Baltimore, we first few months took her to the pediatrician for her normal checkups, and they had concerns because her head was large, And my wife would take her there, and they said, you know, we need to do some tests. So she's in the 95th percentile. Oh, my gosh, her head is, we should do tests. Like, does she have water on the brain? Is she, you know, going through all these tests? And then once, about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months in, I took her to the doctor. The doctor said, never mind. Said she has daddy has a big head-itis. That's all she has. She's totally fine. And so if you see me next to my wife next time, you'll notice that our heads are disproportionately different sizes. Sorry, Kendall, you got mine. So my mom's portion control issues, we went to camp. We had the Christian version of the Boy Scouts. And trying to remember what it was called, but the name is slipping me, Christian Brigade. We went to Christian Brigade as young people. I don't know, maybe Doug, you went. But my mom said, okay, how long are you going for? I said, just the weekend, Mom, Friday, Saturday. We'll be back Sunday morning for church. Okay, got it. So Mrs. Campbell's sons went there, Janice Campbell, and they didn't bring food. They didn't think about it. They were out hunting frogs, looking for frog legs to cook. I asked them, what are you guys doing? They said, well, we didn't even think about food. I said, oh, don't worry. What do you mean, don't worry? Is there meals? No, but my mom sent me food. And literally, I fed most of the campsite for that one weekend on the provisions that she sent me. So, you know, we're thankful for our moms. I love Pastor Matt's message because, you know, we think that the choices that we make, you know, for temptation, for falling into sin, those oftentimes we look at them as choices. You know, we make a choice on our own volition, but, you know, we can be helped with that. And we do. It is a free volitional choice, but we can be helped with that, right? Think about that for a minute. We're going to read from Proverbs chapter 9 this morning, but it really makes extra sense when you consider Proverbs chapter 7. And Proverbs chapter 7 is the strange woman who stands in front of her house and beckons people in, you know. But it says it's the simple man that she goes after, the unlearned, the one who, really, I was thinking about this difference between, we talked about this in our Bible college class, the difference between careless and carefree. They both lack care, right? Somebody who's careless, they don't care. Ah, it's no big deal. What's the big deal? Someone who's carefree says, oh, it's a huge deal. It's just a deal that Jesus is handling, and I can rest in the finished work, rest of that handling, so therefore I am free. One is destined for tragedy and for trauma. The other one is for faith, rest, and for life, right? And the difference between carelessness and carefree has everything to do with how I see myself in him. And I was just thinking about our choices of falling into sin and not falling into sin. When we make a decision, like we just heard about in Isaiah 11, chapter 2, the virtuous woman who has the fear of the Lord, right? And so this is why Mother's Day is so beautiful, in a sense that we are all here. We are here directly or indirectly, you know, our moms, our grandmothers. I did Bible club in the city for a long time, and how many awesome grandmothers, praying grandmothers would say to us, thank you so much for being here. You're the answer to some prayers that we have had for years for our children. And those prayers are effective prayers, and they have a result. And also they are introducing them, their children to the Lord, and they are bringing the fear of the Lord to their children. And let's read in Proverbs chapter 9 here for just a minute. In verse 1, it says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. First of all, wisdom, you know, the translation there, actually Strong's brings it out as every wise woman. That's what it says. It says, every wise woman hath builded her house. Now you have the strange woman who really is not concerned with the condition of her house. She stands in front of her house, or she goes to and fro in the town square, and she is looking to seduce, right? But it has nothing to do with the content of the house, whereas the wise woman builds her house. Why is she building her house? Because there's a feast that's going to take place on the inside of the house. And it says that she has hewn out her seven pillars. And there's a lot of different thoughts in theology about what those seven pillars are. But wisdom's seven pillars, maybe we could just think, based on what Proverbs says, this is one possibility. Proverbs 8:14 says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. That's one pillar of wisdom. Proverbs 8:12 says, wisdom dwells with prudence and finds out knowledge. Right? Knowledge, what is wisdom? It's the application of knowledge. Where does wisdom begin? It begins in the fear of the Lord. How do we know the fear of the Lord? We get to know him personally. Right? We have the fear of the Lord that keeps us because we get to know him personally. Isn't there a difference between being ignorant about what sin is all about? You know, like, isn't it an awesome thing when we can be just simple in our minds towards sin? We hear some people talking about things, what does that mean? You know? Oh, what are you? Do you have your head in the sand? No, I'm satisfied in the things that I have in the fear of the Lord, so I'm not drawn necessarily to something that tries to replace that satisfaction that I have in the Lord. My inner heart is kept by the Lord. You know, Psalm 57:7, fixing my heart on him. And so I'm not drawn to go looking for something that isn't fixed on him. Something that is like the call of the strange woman. And we'll get into that in just a minute here. So Proverbs 8:14 says, this maybe is the third one, I'm understanding, power is mine. 8:18, riches and honor are with me. 14:24, the crown of the wise is their riches. Proverbs 15:23, the reverential fear of Yahweh is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So just think of this, maybe, so it's counsel, knowledge, understanding, might or strength, power or authority, riches and honor, right? And wisdom, even in our riches. You know, we're not saying this morning that if you're not rich, you're unwise. That would leave a lot of us very unwise, wouldn't it? But how do we approach our money? Is it my money? Is it my success or my failure if I don't have money? Or is it I'm walking in prudence, right? I'm fixed on the Lord. I have the fear of the Lord is my strength. He provides. What he does is he provides to me, he gives me the opportunity to be like one of those who the master left with talents, and I can be unwise or I can be wise. And the degree that I trust the Lord and I'm kept by his ways, and isn't it interesting? It says in Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed, right? Taking heed to every word of God. It doesn't say just hearing every word of God. We could think, and by the way, the strange woman comes out and says to him, I have made my peace offerings. I've made my peace offerings. Wait a minute. This is a woman who is described as dressing like a harlot and who is out to seduce. And she says, I have made my peace offerings. You know, there's a religious aspect. So couldn't we say that there are people across the globe today who have made their peace offerings? They have said that I have satisfied the religious requirement for my life, but they have no conversion in their hearts. They have no submission to the plan of God, knowing that if I'm submitted to the plan of God, he's going to order my steps. My wealth is going to happen if he decides that that's the way it should be. And when he does give me something or he doesn't give me something, it doesn't dictate my happiness because my happiness is in knowing I'm in the plan of God. And in the plan of God, by the way, generally, he provides for me in a way that makes me happy. Have we experienced that? Sure we have. Have we been troubled by lack? Sure we have. What do? Do we continue in our trouble? Do we, you know, lie and kick and have a temper tantrum like a child? Sometimes. But ultimately, we can get up. We can get up and we can be strong in the faith that God knows our needs. Do you think God knows our needs today? Do you think he does? Do you think he maybe has something in mind for us? Do you think his plan for us is that we would have satisfaction in him? Otherwise, why are we here? What's going on? Why did God just decide to put, I mean, it's like a guy putting ants, you know, in the dirt, you know? Let's put some ants in there and just watch how they run around. See if they kill each other. See what they're doing here. No, but he had a desire for us, and that desire is that we would experience his nature and his character, and that he would give something to us that would be worth protecting. Now, let's just think for a moment here. In contrast, in Proverbs chapter 7, it says a couple things. In verse 7, and actually we'll just think about it like this for time's sake, about the path that seduction takes. Okay, so remember, this is a woman who is seeking the unlearned, right? And actually, in contrast, I'm sorry, flip back over to chapter 9 for just a minute. We'll highlight a couple verses there that'll help it make sense. So as we said, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. And when it says that she has mixed or mingled her wine, it talks about making the flavor or the attractiveness of that even stronger, right? She has killed her beasts. You know, that's usually a task that you would think of the man going out with the chicken and the axe. But here it talks about wisdom having the provision of the Lord, being the one whose faith doesn't know the boundaries that, you know, what I should or shouldn't do in my femininity or in, and I'm just saying, like, the principle here being that God has a call for us that is not based on what human concept is, right? His call is not based on human concept. Human concept ought to be based on what God says, right? I heard recently, this is an interesting thought, but, you know, maybe if there's within Christianity so much defense of the beliefs of all the other religions of the world to the point where we're cautious of pointing any inconsistency out, that really there's a hatred for Christianity in our hearts. Because actually God is jealous, right? And he calls sin, sin. And there is one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ, his son. And that's very exclusive, and that's very narrow-minded, and that's very limited, and it's very true. So what should I do? Should I operate in a place where my kindness, because I love people? Well, wouldn't real love be that I would be for people and say, you know, I love you so much, I got to tell you, you're in trouble. Right? Or should I let the person driving down the road in front of me with gas pouring out of their gas tank blow them on the floor, on the road, should I just say, that's too bad. Hope someone doesn't throw a cigarette out. Or should I stop them and say, you gotta know there's gas pouring out of your gas tank here. Right? That's true love. That's real love. Not, well, I don't want to offend you. Please offend me if it's going to keep me from the gates of hell. Please offend me. Honestly, I don't want to live in comfort without offense, and yet end up far from God. So she has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. In other words, she's saying, come into my house. There's going to be a feast. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Simple. When we think about the simple, we think about not necessarily people who have purposely rejected, but maybe people who have not been made aware of the truth, or people who are young in their faith, or people who are insecure in who they are in Christ. So what does this mother do? She calls them in to her house and says, I have these seven pillars of wisdom. And you know, these pillars are not like in Proverbs 7. She says, the strange woman says, come into my chamber. I have a bed, and I have tapestries, and I have cinnamon and myrrh and one other spice, which I can't think of right now. I'm thinking of thyme, but that's for the turkey at Thanksgiving. By the way, those spices that are mentioned there are the similar spices mentioned in Song of Solomon when it's talking about love, right? The strange woman takes the things of God and perverts them and says, these are going to be what's in my chamber. And they're intoxicating, and they act as an enhancer of your sexual appetite. All for what reason? By the way, there's so much here that we could speak about, and we could go off on tangents, but we're not going to, for the most part. She says, my husband is away. So this isn't just a prostitute that is out there just, you know, looking for money and her engagement. This is somebody who has a relationship and is hiding that relationship in the sense of, or minimizing that relationship and drawing in by seductive powers somebody into their chamber and promising them something that for her is absolutely a transaction. It has no permanency intended. There's no love here. Have you ever been intoxicated by love? I remember when I got engaged, walking through those doors coming into ABD, and I saw my fiance, and I was like, oh, she's going to be my wife. And I was kind of dizzy. You know, really, honestly, it's like, what? Is that real? Is that really happening? You know, when you have your child, and you're driving home from the hospital, and you're like, oh my gosh, do I really have a child? Yes, I do. Stay away from me, everybody. Don't drive near me. Right? But there's an intoxifying aspect to real love. But this is not that. This is the love that is in the chamber that is seductive, and it's quickly consumed, and it's gone, and it's empty. And it says at the end, try to make sense here as I flip back and forth. It says in the end of this verse, or at the end of Proverbs chapter 7, promises of love, delight, and sensual pleasure. Let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love and persuasion that the risk of discovery is very low. My husband's gone. He's not here. He's on a long journey. But then it goes on to say that the simple man is like an ox, or an ox being led to slaughter, or a bird that is happily running into a snare. Doesn't even realize it. It's going into a snare, and that snare is going to cause death. And also, you know, by design, falling into sin the first time, this is, you know, don't even let it be named amidst you one time, right? Why? Because once it's happened, the second time may not be as difficult, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the pattern, or the habit. So God is very jealous. He says, don't even go there. Don't even go there. You see the strange woman in the street, run the other way. This actually says that he went the way that he knew to get to the house. He saw the woman dressed in a way that was seductive, and he was beckoned towards her, and then she ran and entrapped him and kissed him and invited him in. Right? And the end of it is he's headed for hell. That's what the end of that entrapment was. Hell, death, misery. But we see the end of the woman who has virtue, and it's the fear of the Lord, and it's the completeness that comes with knowing God personally, and it's the ordering of our steps and the protection of our ways. And thank God for mothers who have said, I'm going to sacrifice. You know, of all the favorite memories I have of my mom, there was a time she dressed up in my hockey equipment for Halloween. That was pretty cool. Seeing her walk out of the house. The other time was another Halloween where she dressed up like a witch, and she was so scary and convincing. And by the way, my grandparents were in the medical field, so she had a real human skull on the counter with a candle in it. And I walked in the front door and almost died of fear. Did not realize it was my mother. You know, these are things that you remember with fondness, maybe? I don't know. Fear? Torment? But, you know, those that knew her knew that she was the mother of many. And I don't just mean the seven children that she had. But she had many, many people who came into contact with her that were considered her own, right? But I am so thankful. The one memory I'm most thankful for is when my parents went to South Berwick to hear this guy they had been listening to on telephone time in the garden, in between Music Man and Fiddler on the Roof. Telephone Time would come on. And they would have it blaring in their speakers as they're working in our garden. And one day, my mom and dad said, let's go see this guy, Pastor Stevens. Let's go to this South Berwick that he's talking about. And they went, and then we all went to Framingham. And then 2 weeks later, we were moving to Lenox, Massachusetts. House sold, gone, on a bus. Kathy Powers then at the time, Mary Powers, a group of, I don't know, 40 of us, we came to Lenox, right? That's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that my mother was a mother who was building a house and inviting people to come in and feast in it and saying not, this is my house, this is my hospitality, praise me. You know, there was no thanks accepted personally. It was like, hey, thank God we can do this. It's the glory of God. You know, we don't have much, but what we have, we're going to multiply it way too many times and invite way too many people. And if I asked her, Mom, can I bring someone? Why are you asking me that? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. No, you don't ask, you just bring. It was like there was no provision for selfishness. It was no, we're here in this ministry on this earth to pour out and to give. So today, as I think of the virtuous woman who is building a house, right? And the last thing is maybe that wisdom is known and it's justified of its children. And what I mean by that is we're here today. We are here today because of the investment. And maybe our moms were key or essential in that, and maybe our grandmoms were. Maybe for us, we're the first generation Christians and we're here. We're going to contribute to that for somebody else. We're not living this life selfishly just for what can I get out of it today. But we are planning and thinking about what God wants for us, not just to leave a heritage of wealth, if that happens, great, but how about a heritage of wisdom that has pillars that have been hewn out and is fellowshipping, it's bringing people into the fellowship of his dear son so they can have the fear of the Lord and they can have life that goes on and on and on, everlasting. And we are the fruit of it. Wisdom is justified of his children. The soundness of wisdom can be clearly understood when you consider what it produces. If it produces life, and if it produces strength and joy, even when the situation is tough, you know its source. If it produces death and emptiness and guilt, and it says this about the strange woman who invites the man in, that it goes right through his liver, like a dart through his liver, and it ends up in death, right? And we think about that. Our emotions are killed. We live in guilt. We live in emptiness. We live in troubles. Or we live carefree. Not careless, carefree. In other words, my ways are his ways because he asked me to make it that way. I am holy because he's holy, because he says I can have it. I am in his presence. I am filled with his joy. I am living in his peace. I come to the worship service and I hear a song and my heart is stirred up and I'm literally intoxicated with that love, that God loves me so much and I can sing about it in my heart quietly so it doesn't offend you, because it would. But God is faithful. Right? So thank you, Lord, for our moms. Thank you, Lord, for wise wisdom, for wise women who have made it their place to build a house that is filled with the pillars of wisdom. And thank you, Lord, for this church and for this place where we can be together and we can have your ways be lifted up. We can have your ways be the most essential, God, not our own ways, which end up short of the target and frustrating and empty. And really, at the end of the day, the place where we were doesn't even remember we were there. But we can have a legacy that's, yep, they sold all they had and they followed God. And when they followed God, they built a place of wisdom and fellowship that I came to know the Lord Jesus in. And it has been multiplied and it is justified in its fruit. So thank you, Lord. And maybe you're here today and you've never received Christ to be your Savior. Today is the day. The Lord says, I am freely given to you. Freely receive me. So if you are here today and you've never said, I want to be in the kingdom of your dear Son, just do that in your heart simply. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Spirit and your presence in my life. and give me eternal life as the promise that you gave to me. So maybe there's one here that's saying that prayer today. If you are, just slip your hand up so that we can recognize that and we can offer you something. Is there one here? Okay. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your people and that we can celebrate this day. Maybe we are not all mothers. Well, not maybe. Certainly we are not all mothers. Maybe we are. We have a desire in our heart to be a mother, and it has not happened. Well, Lord, we can invest in people, and we can have a house that is wise and have wisdom as its pillars and be fulfilling your plan as it is for this moment, God. So we are thankful for that, Lord. Praise you and thank you for this day. May we glorify you in all that we do. In your precious name we pray.